Good evening. I have no relationship to disclose. Venous thromboembolism, or VTE, is a global source of morbidity and mortality and is the third most common cardiovascular disease after myocardial infarction and stroke. There is currently no national VTE surveillance system in the United States, and it's estimated that between 600,000 to 800,000 are affected yearly, causing up to 100,000 deaths. Studies have shown that pregnant women have a 4 to 5-fold increased risk of VTE compared to non-pregnant women, with up to 50% of VTE in pregnancy occurring during the postpartum period. It is one of the leading causes of maternal mortality in developed countries, responsible for approximately 1.1 to 1.5 deaths per 100,000 deliveries in the U.S. and in Europe. This makes up 9% of maternal deaths here in the U.S. Pregnancy is associated with physiological and anatomical changes which predisposes women to VTE. Hypercoagulability occurs normally during pregnancy and is due to increased concentration of clotting factors. This is thought to protect against hemorrhage from miscarriage and delivery. Next, increased venous status and decreased venous outflow also occur and are hormonally mediated. The anatomical changes include compression of pelvic veins by the enlarging uterus and decreased mobility of the expectant mother. Overall, the effect of these changes is a thrombogenic state. So apart from the normal thrombogenic state of pregnancy, there are other specific risk factors that can predispose VTE in pregnancy, some of which include advanced maternal age, cesarean delivery, multiparity, and medical conditions such as heart disease and obesity. The national trend of VTE prevalence has been increasing, but studies on pregnancy-related VTE trends have not been published since 2001. So we sought to describe the trends in the rate of VTE in pregnancy-related hospitalizations in the U.S. and to assess the prevalence of co-occurring conditions in pregnancy-related hospitalizations with VTE. Our study population was obtained from the Nationwide Inpatient Sample, or NIS, the largest nationwide all-payer hospital inpatient care database in the U.S. It's a stratified sample of 20% of all U.S. community hospitals developed as part of the Healthcare Cost and Utilization Project. It provides information on 5 to 8 million discharges from an average of 1,000 hospitals each year. And finally, it is important to note that NIS contains discharge records rather than patient records. Our analysis included all pregnancy-related hospitalizations, which included a VTE diagnosis in women aged 15 to 44 during 1994 to 2008. These were identified using International Classification of Disease, or ICD-9 diagnosis and diagnosis-related group codes. The hospitalizations were classified as antenatal, delivery, and postpartum period. The following are the co-occurring conditions we assessed during the pregnancy-related hospitalizations, and they are not mentioned in any particular order: obesity, anemia, diabetes, cesarean delivery, blood transfusion, postpartum infection, hemorrhage, chronic heart disease, and hypertensive disorders. Statistical analysis were conducted using SAS-Culable Sudan. We used chi-square tests to assess changes in prevalence of demographics and co-occurring conditions. Comparisons between 1994 to 1996 versus 2006 to 2008 was used as an index for the beginning and the end of the study period. Rates were calculated per 1,000 deliveries, and multivariate logistic regression analysis was done to assess the likelihood of VTE during the study period after adjusting for co-occurring conditions. All estimates were weighted to account for the complex sample design. So the following results were obtained. This slide illustrates changes in the rate of VTE diagnosis per 1,000 deliveries according to hospitalization types. We compared 1994 to 96 and 2006 to 2008. The rate of VTE diagnosis increased significantly by 22% in antenatal hospitalizations and by 51% in postpartum hospitalizations. Overall, there was a 17% increase in VTE diagnosis when all pregnancy hospitalizations were analyzed. The next few slides are bar charts showing the prevalence of co-occurring conditions in pregnancy-related hospitalizations with VTE. The x-axis shows the co-occurring conditions being assessed, while the prevalence is on the y-axis. This slide shows antenatal hospitalizations with VTE. We noted significant increases in the prevalence of chronic heart disease, hypertensive disorders, and anemia. This slide shows the delivery hospitalizations with VTE. Again, the x-axis shows the co-occurring conditions being assessed, while their prevalence is on the y-axis. Here, significant increases in prevalence were seen in diabetes, chronic heart disease, hypertensive disorders, cesarean section, postpartum infection, and in blood transfusion. And finally, these represent postpartum hospitalizations with VTE. The prevalence of co-occurring conditions in postpartum hospitalizations with VTE was increased in obesity, diabetes, chronic heart disease, hypertensive disease, anemia, and in blood transfusion. To assess the likelihood of VTE diagnosis in pregnancy hospitalizations from 1994 to 2008, we split the study period into 5 3-year intervals and calculated adjusted odds ratios for each interval using the initial period 1994 to 96 as our reference group. This was done while simultaneously adjusting for demographic characteristics and the co-occurring conditions listed on the slide. For hospitalizations during the antenatal period, there were significant increases in the adjusted odds for VTE diagnosis for study years 1997 through 2008, compared with 1994 to 1996. For delivery and the postpartum hospitalizations, the likelihood of a VTE diagnosis was not significantly different for any of the time periods in comparison with 1994 to 96. This is a graphical representation of the adjusted odds ratios for VTE diagnosis during antenatal hospitalization, as shown in the previous slide. Again, you can see the increase in the odds of VTE during antenatal hospitalizations over the study period. So, in summary, our results show that from 1994 to 2008, there was a 17% increase in the overall rate of pregnancy-related hospitalizations with VTE. Secondly, the prevalence of chronic and hypertensive heart diseases were increased in all hospitalization types. And finally, the likelihood of VTE diagnosis over time was significantly increased for antenatal hospitalization. The strength of this study includes the use of a large database, which is a good representative sample of the U.S. The NIS, or the Nationwide Inpatient Sample, is also the most reliable source of data on hospital discharge. Some of our limitations include the use of an inpatient database. This automatically excludes all those who were diagnosed and managed during outpatient visits. Secondly, because the NIS includes information on discharges, not on individuals, we were unable to account for multiple hospitalizations by the same patient. Possible misclassification from incorrect coding is likely to be present. And finally, we were unable to validate the claims by examining medical records or to include race in our analysis due to missing values. In conclusion, our analysis shows that pregnancy-related VTE hospitalization increased from 1994 to 2008. We think that this is partly due to the improved awareness of diagnostic tests of VTE during pregnancy. Also, the increase of co-occurring conditions such as chronic heart disease and hypertensive disorders, which we observed, may play a role. To this effect, there is a need for continued vigilance in assessing all hospitalized pregnant women with VTE, I'd like to acknowledge the following people whose help was invaluable during this process. Thank you. Okay, so thank you for that question, and yes, so that is actually one of the biggest discussions that researchers are having now, because the diagnosis of VTE, or to be more specific, of DVT, that's deep venous thrombosis, has gone up, and it seems like it has gone up at the same time that the imaging technique that has become more available, and fatality hasn't increased. So the dilemma that physicians and researchers have is that there is so much diagnosis of DVT going on, and some of these DVTs are those that would have been silent, because of course some of them are silent and then they just go away and they don't really cause any symptoms. So just because there's this heightened, you know, awareness of DVT, and then it's kind of, it's like a quality issue with hospitals now, because if you have your patients having DVT, it's as if, you know, there was some carelessness involved. So hospitals are very aware. If a patient comes in for some procedures, for surgeries, they want to go ahead and check for a DVT. And when they do some of these diagnostic tests, they'll find something, you know. Like some radiologists will say, if you look, you will find. So they see some of these sometimes very small clots, and it's recorded as a DVT. And it probably may have been silent. And so, I mean, that's the debate that especially vascular surgeons are having, that most people are now having silent DVTs being recorded as DVTs when they shouldn't have been. Yes, please.
Thank you. My question relates to one of the slides when you found VTE has actually been protected. And just have a pulse ratio from 2000 to 2002. One of the slides. Delivery and VTE 2000 to 2002. I just wanted to find out.
Is it this one?
No, the previous one.
Okay.
When you created different...
Okay, so the odds ratio one. Okay.
And then the any reason for the ratio different is that it will stratify according to...
So let me just answer the second question first. So the NIS is a database where we have people, hospitals, 20% of hospitals are sampled all over the U.S., and there's some states who do not report race and ethnicity, and we have up to 30% of missing data in the NIS. So that's why some people, when they do analysis in NIS, they go ahead and they analyze race and just sometimes exclude those states, but we didn't include race and ethnicity in our analysis, even though it's very important, because previous studies have shown that black people have at least 1.5 times more likely to have a VTE than Hispanics and whites. So it's something of interest, but in this database, it's difficult to make that analysis just for that reason. And then your second question is about why it looks like the years are protective. So we had a hard time actually coming up with an explanation for what we had on this slide. First of all, we have the temporal trend only in the antenatal period and not in any other period. And most Well, I guess most likely, I would say most likely, it will probably be because of the coding. Coding has changed so much over the years. And for delivery and postpartum, sometimes it's difficult to separate out who exactly was hospitalized between that time. So if a woman comes during the delivery period and then she stays on for some kind of, she has a complication and then she stays even up to the postpartum period. So you can't say what coding she'll be given when she leaves the hospital, because she was a delivery code and she's also a postpartum code. So sometimes there's that problem of having to separate out what exactly is delivery and what exactly is postpartum. So I have to say I can't tell you for sure why we saw that in the delivery and the postpartum, but the reasons that we can profile for the antenatal, why we saw the temporal trend in the antenatal period, is one of the things that we noted was the increase in the age of VTE in women of older ages, from 35 to 44. There's an increased rate of people with VTE in that age group. And in the US, in the past 10 to 15 years, that age group has had increased number of deliveries and live births. And typically, that age group is more prone to to even co-occurring conditions like hypertension, obesity, and then even assisted deliveries. So a lot of the deliveries in that age group will be hormonally assisted, or, you know, have some kind of hormonal mediation going on, and even that in itself is a risk for VTE. So